It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Last April in Texas, the Fort Bend Independent School District found the remains of 95 Black Americans while breaking ground on a new technical center in the city of Sugar Land. The bodies are over 100 years old and believed to be the remnants of the state's Jim Crow-era convict lease program, which allowed prisons to lease inmates to work for private companies in the decades after the Civil War. But there's a dispute between the school district and some community members over what should be done next. This week, a county judge ordered to stop the reburial of remains found at the site pending a full investigation. Joining me now is Brooke Lewis, a reporter covering Fort Bend County for the Houston Chronicle, and Douglas Blackman, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of the book Slavery by Another Name and a professor at Georgia State University in Atlanta. Brooke, Douglas, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Brooke, what's at issue here? What's the actual dispute?
So I think the main issue is you have a group of community activists who feel really passionate about remains that are buried at a construction site in Fort Bend. And then you have the school district who is wanting to build a technical center where the remains were found. And now it's unclear on where the remains will be moved to. The school district wants to move the remains to a nearby cemetery that has a similar history. And then the community activists want to keep the remains at the school district site.
Why can't the school be built somewhere else, Brooke?
I think because this site was funded by a bond that the school district set back a few years ago, and there's money earmarked for this technical center, and the construction has been going on for months now, and a lot of the building frame is already up, and I believe the school district is, you know, just set on keeping the technical center there because all of this progress has already been made, and they don't want to have to tear down the construction and find other land to build the site on.
So let's talk a little bit, Douglas, about some of the history here. The folks that are in this burial site, from what we understand, were part of something called the Convict Lease Program. Can you tell us what that was?
The convict leasing system was the way that after the Civil War and in some places deep into the 20th century, in some places all the way up to the beginning of World War II, that southern states would essentially sell the prisoners in the state prison system and in county prisons. Essentially, in every state in the South participated in this, and prisoners, rather than being held in prisons or jails, would be turned over to private farmers or coal mine operators or certain kinds of industrial operations. And so what was happening here in this part of Texas, which since the very beginning of its settlement, certainly by Americans moving into what was Mexican territory, this was sugarcane production land. And the agricultural work on sugarcane farms is among the most brutal labor imaginable. The labor, the way that it was done in those days, was absolutely relentless and backbreaking. These men would have been constantly whipped in the fields by overseers using the lash. They were chained together when they did this work. And that work was done before the Civil War by slaves of the kind that we're familiar with. And after the Civil War, much of it was done by prisoners forced to do this work in a new kind of involuntary servitude.
Brooke, tell us about what Sugar Land looks like today. I mean, that was a stark description of what these men originally went through. What is the demographic breakdown of the community today?
I mean, now Sugar Land is considered one of the most diverse places in America. Fort Bend County, where Sugar Land is one of the most diverse counties in America. So from what Doug is saying, this is a very stark difference today. It's a very modern place. There's restaurants, and it's a very up-and-coming place to live. And yeah, it's a totally different description of kind of what Doug was saying.
So I'm trying to understand what the citizens, the residents of Sugar Land feel. I mean, is there a clear division? Are most people on one side of this or on the other side?
I think there's a mix. Now, the people that have been actively involved from the start now have a pretty clear stance of wanting to keep the remains at the site because they just feel it's more respectful than moving them again. And I believe that with the community itself, people are just kind of, gripped by the history, because growing up in Texas, you may have not heard of this system. It's a system that, you know, you learn about slavery, but you don't learn that a system that was similar to slavery was implemented shortly after slavery was over. So I think people have been, you know, just waiting to see what's going to happen with this very important part of history.
Douglas, what about the historical significance of this find? We've seen there have been other burial grounds found in different parts of the United States. I would imagine there are many more to uncover. Where do you put this in that spectrum?
What's striking about what has happened at Sugar Land is essentially just that it has been identified and that the remains were uncovered. And, you know, we're moved by visual images. And the reason that this particular event has taken on such interest nationally is, I think, essentially because of the photographs that were circulated some months ago, in which we could see these open grave pits and the skeletal remains of people at the bottom of them. And that evocative image has captured the imagination and revolted people in some respect, but has moved people to be interested in this particular case. But in reality, the opening of these graves is the only thing about them that is unusual. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of other sites just like this one all over the southern United States. Those bones, what's left of those men, are speaking. They are speaking through the damage that was done to them, to the bullet holes that you can see in the skeletal structure. Some of them were shot to death. The hunger that they suffered that is indicated in these remains, the brutality that was inflicted on them by these guards and this whole system. It's an extraordinarily rare event that these nameless individuals are able to speak finally after all of this time and tell us just how immense this horror was.
Douglas Blackman is a professor at Georgia State University. He's currently working with former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder on a forthcoming book called Pursuing Justice. Douglas, thanks again.
My pleasure.
Brooke Lewis covers Fort Bend County for the Houston Chronicle. Thanks again, Brooke.
Thanks for having me.